There was a young lady who wrote this home from college. She said, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. I broke my arm and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when they had a fire. We were lucky. A young gas station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. While I was in the hospital, Pete, the gas station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice, but I must admit that I am expecting. Pete and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a D in sociology, and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective." Okay, young people, don't do that, okay? You might be visiting one of your folks in the hospital with a heart attack. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective on our circumstances. We need a proper perspective on God. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, a day in which we set aside time in our busy schedules to give thanks to our God for all that he's done for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but God's word tells us that we should have a continual, daily attitude of thanksgiving. Let me read from you from Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The main subject here is praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. Notice the important words in these passages: always, continually, and in all circumstances. Always, continually, and in all circumstances. Now, it sounds as if Paul's talking about a church service here when he says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." But Paul is not talking about a worship service. He's talking about a continual attitude of our heart and how we relate to each other. But how, you may wonder, can we have this attitude continually in all circumstances? The answer lies in our view of what we have to give thanks for. We need a proper perspective. That is, we need a right view of things. Only when we are able to give thanks to the Lord in that manner can we do it always. Dear Father, I pray that as we look to your word this morning, that you will help us to understand that thanksgiving is not just something that happens one day a year, but it's something that you desire for us every day and throughout every day. Speak to us now by your Spirit through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are, first of all, at least three attitudes that steal our gratitude. Three attitudes that keep us from being thankful. One is conceit. Conceit, our pride. This attitude says, nobody ever gave me anything. I earned everything I have. With this kind of attitude, we feel we have no one to thank but ourselves. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit. A critical spirit. Constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, the person with this problem always finds something to gripe about. There was a farmer who is an incurable complainer. And he was always finding something to grumble about. At last, his pastor thought he had found something about which he might be happy. For his crops were the finest for miles around. As he saw him, the pastor said, you must be very happy. Everybody says that how great your potatoes are this year. He replied, yeah, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need some bad potatoes to feed the pigs? The third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we'd stay out all night to watch them. But they're out, well, maybe every night. They're out every night, we don't see them every night. But if they were only out one night a week, or a year rather, we'd stay out and we'd watch them all night long. But we've grown accustomed to them. The Israelites grumbled because they had no food. So God miraculously sent manna every day except the Sabbath day. And then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. They had a miracle straight from God every day, but they were no longer satisfied. Because of pride, a critical spirit, or carelessness, we will always lack gratitude for all that God has given to us. Rudyard Kipling was one of the few writers there in the 19th century who had the opportunity to enjoy his success while he lived. He also made a great deal of money at his trade. And once a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, Mr. Kipling, someone calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word. Kipling raised his eyebrows and he says, really? I wasn't aware of that. And so the reporter cynically reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and he gave it to Kipling and he said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now, will you give me one of your $100 words? Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, thank you. That's right, the word thanks or thank you is certainly a $100 word. In fact, I would say it's more like a $1 million word. It's one word that is too seldom heard, and too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. If we'd all adopt an attitude of thanksgiving, our lives would be changed. We would savor every day. Now, if there's any nation that ought to be thankful to God and be grateful for his goodness, it ought to be us, America. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness to us, it ought to be Christians. This morning, I'd like to share with you three things we learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. Number one, thanksgiving should be expressed. It should be expressed. One of the praise songs we sometimes sing is found in Psalm 100, where it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." David wrote in Psalm 107, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." We should express thanks to God as well as to others. Luke 17 tells us about 10 men who had leprosy who came to Jesus. But of those 10 men that Jesus healed, only one came back to give thanks. And Jesus asked him, he says, "Where are the other nine?" He was the only one willing to take time to come back and to say, "Thank you." And because of that, Jesus said, "Be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." Ever wonder why Jesus said that? Like the other nine, the man was healed from the time he showed himself to the priest, as Jesus said. But when Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," he wasn't just talking about physical healing, as important as that was, but he was talking about spiritual and mental and social restoration. He was completely whole. We, too, are made whole by our gratitude. You know, psychologists tell us that that sincere gratitude, a thankful spirit, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Selye, considered the father of human stress studies, has discovered that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. And a thankful heart will endear us to others and them to us. Thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but it's good for the receiver. Our thanksgiving glorifies God and endears him to us. It draws us closer to him. If we're not grateful and fail to express our thanksgiving, then it can have the opposite effect. In Romans 1:21, Paul says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." This passage seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away, and their hearts will become hardened. Pride keeps people from worshiping God truly and from being thankful. Let me list a few ways to say thank you to God. A, spend personal time with him. Not just 1 hour a week here in church, but spend personal time with him every day. Secondly, forgive others. And then C, serve him by serving others. And D, share his plan of salvation. And then E, when you reach out to hurting people. Reach out to hurting people. One way of really expressing our gratitude to God. And then when you give God the best of your time and talents and treasure, and then praise him enthusiastically from your heart. Second thing is, our thanksgiving should be expansive. Not only expressed, but it should be expansive. Gratitude should include three things to be complete. Number one, the blessings of life. Now, how many of you would be thankful for a sink full of dirty dishes? A sink of dirty dishes usually means that God has blessed us with daily food. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night? Our prayers are often very general. We say, "Thank you, God, for all our blessings." But what blessings are we really thankful for? Song says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Thanksgiving should include, secondly, the burdens of life. This is a tough one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always giving thanks." You may think, well, this was easy for Paul to say. Surely it was a mistake. But Paul suffered from a very difficult problem called a thorn in the flesh. He never told us what that really meant. Theologians and Bible scholars have been guessing at what it was. Many thought it was his eyesight. But he also had been run out of town and beaten and imprisoned and betrayed by friends. He had been cold and hungry and naked and shipwrecked, and he had been stoned for his faith and left for dead. And yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. He said several things that really show he had the proper perspective on the burdens of life. Romans 8:18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." And 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "That is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And Philippians 1:12 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." We also have the proper perspective. We can give thanks in all circumstances. Rachel was a 35-year-old mom of three who had just finished college. And she got a job at Verizon. And then she was diagnosed with lupus. So her husband left her. Her oldest son was then arrested on a drug charge. And Rachel lost so much weight, she couldn't even hold her head up. She couldn't get out of the bathtub by herself. She said later that this was really a blessing. It allowed her to spend more time in prayer and in the hospital. She said, "Maybe someone is here that the Lord wants me to share his love with." In our weakness, God can make us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives. He helps us through times we could never have faced on our own. Paul is not saying that we have to be thankful for our problems. He says in our problems. Being thankful in them allows God to use them for his greater good. Others can come to Christ because of your example, especially in the midst of difficult times. Our thanksgiving should include the blessings of life, the burdens of life, and then thirdly, the benefits of life. When the Israelites focused on what they did not have, they failed to see all that they did have. We add to our prayer list, and we should. But more than anything, we should be adding to our praise list. That's one of the reasons why when we gather together on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, the first thing that we do in prayer is to give praise to God. We have all had difficult times. There might even have been some times when you wished you could die. But if we really look at all the benefits of life, we find that it's good to be alive, to feel the wind, to see the sunrise, to fall in love, to hold a newborn child or a grandchild for the first time, to be hugged by our parent or our child or a friend who tells us that we are special. All of that makes it worth living. An experiment was done in New York Central Park where an advertising firm disguised a man as a blind man and gave him a cup to be able to collect money. The first day they put a sign around the man's neck which read, "Blind." That day he collected about $4. The next day they disguised him the same way, placed him in the same place, but they changed the sign to read, "It's spring and I'm blind." That day he collected nearly $40. That day those people realized how blessed they were by the beautiful flowers and the birds and the sunrise and the sunset. And they had compassion on the one who could not enjoy it as they enjoyed it. As followers of Jesus Christ, there are even more benefits that we have in life. We can be sure that we are forgiven and we are free. It's good to be alive in Jesus Christ. Not only should our thanksgiving be expressed and expanded, but we learn that our thanksgiving is expected. It's expected. Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is God's will for us. He knows if we will just do that, our lives will be different. We will be changed. Gratitude is the mark of a growing Christian. As wonderful as they are, a baby isn't grateful for you that you walk the floor all night, especially when they were colicky. Some of you have done that. You've walked the floor all night with a colicky baby. But when you put the baby down, they don't say, "Thank you, I really needed that." They just yell louder. A child has to be taught to be thankful. It doesn't come naturally. And you've raised children where you almost have to force them to say thank you and learn to do that. When we realize how blessed we are by others and by God, we express that and it helps us to grow. Gratitude is the mark of a generous Christian. The mark of a generous Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us and how much He continues to do for us, we should be more than happy to give something back to Him. This comes through time given to serve, as well as in our financial giving. For there to be real thanksgiving, there must be thanks, and there must be giving. As God has blessed us, so we should bless His work by our giving. James 1:17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift." Have any good gifts in life? "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." Now, when you're at a restaurant, you're happy to be able to give a really good waitress a 20% tip. For some people, many people have a problem with giving God 10% of all that He's given them. We need to ask ourselves if we are truly thankful. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Thanksgiving is the mark of a growing Christian, a giving believer, and gratitude is the mark of a glowing Christian. If you are thankful to God that you will not be critical and pessimistic, but glowing and eternally grateful to God, though tough times are hard, they won't break you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. He said, I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows covered my soul. I prayed that the darkness, but the darkness did not vanish. I tried to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland mission station, and I saw on the wall of the mission these words, try thanksgiving. I did just that, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. The psalmist is right. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Have you been going through some tough times yourself? Have you prayed and yet the difficulties are still there? Have you told yourself to keep on going and someday it will all disappear, but it got deeper? Then try thanks living. Thanks living. Each day remind yourself of at least three specific things that you have to give thanks to God for, and write them down. You might keep a journal with just three things every day that you write in there. Three different things. And then pray this. Say, Lord, deliver me from a negative mindset. Deliver me from a negative attitude. I have no excuse for this pessimism. Remove the critical, negative spirit from my life. We Christians of all people should be optimists. A negative Christian is an insult to God. When you look at all that He's done for you, there is absolutely no reason for pessimism for a follower of Jesus Christ. If you haven't opened your life to Jesus yet, and I encourage you to look at this verse. Real life is to be found only in God's Son. Anyone then who has this, has Christ, has in this life. If he doesn't have Christ, then he doesn't pass this life at all. You have everything to gain. Everything to gain. What do you have to lose if you give your life to Jesus Christ? Well, nothing except guilt and fear and bitterness and meaninglessness and boredom and purposelessness and hell, among many other things. That's what you lose. As we close, are you bothered by the regrets about your past? Are you bothered about the regrets about your past? Jesus offers you complete forgiveness without condemnation. Would you like to break free of those harmful habits, of those negative ways of reacting? Jesus offers you life without domination. You don't have to be controlled by anything. Does the situation that you're facing feel hopeless? Jesus offers you life without desperation. Confused by your problems? God has a purpose for allowing them in your life. God will use your problems for good in your life. And it could be that God is just trying to get your attention. He can take even your mistakes and bring good out of them for your benefit and the benefit of other people. Allow Him to have control. What are your fears? Is it failure? Is it the future? Is it dying? Jesus offers you a life without intimidation. Are you worried that your needs won't be met? Put your life totally in His hands. He has the resources to meet your needs. God loves you so much. In fact, the Bible says that God made you in order to love you. If you'll give Him your life, you will be eternally secure. He will always be with you. Let me ask you right now, to open your life to Jesus Christ. In your heart, say, Jesus, I want this life you are offering to me. Jesus, I am trusting you to come into my life. Make me what you want me to be. Be the leader, the savior of my life. I give it all to you. I commit myself completely to you. Now, thank you for coming into my life. With our heads bowed in prayer. Maybe you prayed a prayer like that in faith. God heard you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today you may be praying that prayer for the very first time. You don't understand it all. But we're here to help you to grow in that understanding. Father, thank you for your word for us today. I pray that those who have asked you to help them and for those who asked Jesus into their life today, may they know that you are now in them and will never leave them or forsake them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.